All right, it's week two of new theme music experiments.
Yeah, last week's was no good.
I liked last week's, but I want to give people the real experience here. So, welcome. It is Tuesday, May 21st. This is our new music, just in case you guys actually like this stuff and don't think it sounds like 70s porn music, which I heard over and over again last week.
Which one? What does this sound like to you, Adam?
80s porn music.
Oh, okay.
Dave, funny is, Dave, you guys can't hear it. None of us can hear it right now. It's being put on after we record this. What do you want to say, Dave?
Dave, do you know that we're in the presence of the reigning kickball player of the week?
Yeah. Oh. Did I tell you not to tell anyone?
The reigning kickball player. We only have one more day.
Now, do you get like a special panelized kickball? Like, you know, football players, when they get player of the week, they get a special little football, a little thing to put on their
this is what happens
at home.
I've been saving that for a week.
As you guys know, I think I told you, players in the league have to ref the other games. So we all have to ref once a season.
Right? Yeah, you told us about
that. I had already refed, but we had nobody to ref the early game last week, so I volunteered to ref again. And the captain said to me, no matter what happens, you're going to win MVP of our team tonight just because you reffed. Uh-huh. So I ended up having my best game ever, and I genuinely was the MVP last week, but I really only got it because I reffed. So it was kind of an asterisk. Great story, right?
Reigning kickball player of the week.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't even earn it.
I really did, though. That was the funny thing.
Yeah,
I
but tell him why. Tell Dave why you earned it.
I made a sliding catch and turned it into a double play.
How big is the ball? How big is the kickball? I imagine just
ball.
A giant orange rubber ball.
It's a red kickball. And I drove in our
size
only two runs.
Of a little car.
And we lost. Anyway, welcome to the show, Fantasy Football Today, the podcast.
Between the music and that story, we just lost all of our listeners.
A lot of
emails.
We're
talking to ourselves right now.
A lot of emails today.
Now you know how I felt all those times you talked about the Knicks.
We're catching up. We don't have to talk about that. We're catching up on emails. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. I'm blaming the refs, by the way.
On what?
In that Knicks series. What a joke.
You threw your notes down.
I'm
you were
still
mad.
Really angry about it.
Are you excited for J.R. Smith signing a four-year deal?
No, no? Not at all. I wish he would sign a four-year deal to play in China again. I'd never have to see him. Rob Gronkowski news, Tony Romo news, Mike Goodson, Josh Freeman, Denver running backs, and much more. But it is a mailbag show. We'll catch up on them. And here we go with Rob Gronkowski. Forearm surgery. Everything's A-okay, but are you guys worried about him drafting him?
Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
I'm a little less worried. I'm happy that there's no infection in his arm. At least that's what the reports are. And looks like he could be on pace for training camp. So let's just say it's day one or day three or day five of training camp, and here comes Gronk, and he's on the field, and he's practicing and looking good and plays in a few preseason games, and his back's fine and his forearm's cool. Yeah, I don't have a problem with taking him with a top 20, top 15 pick at all.
The key word you said there, though, is his back, because he's still 3 to 4 weeks away from potential back surgery, and there's a 10 to 11 week timetable on the recovery for both of these procedures. Mm-hmm. At least that's the initial reports. So I don't think you'll see him the beginning of training camp. I think you'll see him probably looking into the second game of the preseason is when you'll start to see him start to ramp up his practice level. You know, he'll go out there. He'll, do some work on the side. He'll be in the training room. He'll do all the things that you see a lot of veteran guys coming back from injuries do. But I think day one, when they break camp when they open camp, I don't think you'll see Rob Gronkowski on the field. But I agree with Dave. I think as long as all the reports continue to come back glowing, you should still be okay. Now, you will see in our rankings, we all have Jimmy Graham ranked number one. If he's back by training camp, I have no problem putting Rob Gronkowski ahead of
me too.
So that's kind of where it stands right now. It's just more of a cautionary tale. If you're drafting and you want to take that first tight end, I think you're just a little safer right now to take Jimmy Graham, who also, by the way, coming back from wrist surgery, we still don't know what his status is going to be.
Well, but at least his surgery
has happened in the past, and he's fine.
He's
in a much better situation health-wise than Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, and, there's still always the chance that something bad could happen. You know, they might open up Gronk's back and – like a little alien pops on. It could be a cute, fuzzy little alien.
Hello, baby. Hello, my honey.
Thank you. But there could still be some serious issues with the back that could delay him further. And, You know, you never want to draft a player, especially early, who misses a lot or all of training camp. That's a big no-no.
Yeah, that hurt Adrian Peterson last year.
I think
that's like the only guy, though.
I'm kidding.
How many other guys are there?
I'm kidding.
I think I've gone through the entire screenplay of Spaceballs.
Yeah, you do a good job.
Podcast. Romo, back surgery. Should we be worried?
No, it's minor. No one else seems to be worried. He was out there on the practice field kind of pretending to be a coach for the Cowboys during their OTAs on Tuesday. So.
They are just
talking. Somebody has to, huh?
You're on fire today.
Yeah, all right.
He's the kickball superstar.
What could I say?
You know, Tony Romo is so I just – you look at him, he's just like the stepchild nobody wants.
I want him.
He's going to fall to you on draft day, and you're going to end up with 4,000 yards, right around 30 touchdowns. The turnovers are going to be a problem because that's just the way he plays, but – you look at his receiving core. I mean, anyone would take that receiving core. Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Terrence Williams, Jason Witten. I mean, and as we're you could skip ahead if you want. DeMarco Murray may have gotten hurt on Tuesday. They have no running game if they don't have DeMarco Murray. I mean, you could talk all you want to about Joseph Randle's potential. Romo's going to probably have to throw again 50 times a game.
Yeah.
So he's basically Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, he's a great guy to target, but it's got to be at the right price. You know, no one wants to take that stepchild who's going to be, you know, you've got to feed him steak every night, and you've got to take him to Disney World every other weekend.
Sure.
You want the stepchild that you get at like a bargain, like the Walmart stepchild.
That's Jamie would go to Disney World every other weekend if he could.
No. Yeah, sure.
It's too much.
It is too much?
It is too much.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Your son loves it.
But you would eat the turkey leg every other weekend, though.
No, once is enough. My sodium levels spiked after that. No thanks.
I didn't know you monitored that.
Oh, yeah, I have a thing, a device. Mike Goodson arrested Friday on weapon
and
drug
charges. Pair just, you know, Adam's time for your sodium level.
Oh, we have. We check everything every day.
How do you check your sodium exactly?
it's through the ear.
Okay.
Yeah. Mike Goodson.
I was wondering if a rubber glove was involved.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, for safety
for
purposes.
The year.
But it could be.
Good transition.
He could be cut.
Good transition.
And now let's talk
rubber
about.
Rubber glove to Mike Goodson.
Yeah.
Well, a guy driving around drunk with special bullets in his gun, in his unlicensed gun in New Jersey.
Was he drunk?
Yes.
I thought it was a marijuana.
Yeah, it was
situation.
Marijuana.
I thought there was alcohol also involved.
It's bad news all around.
Regardless.
Let's just go ahead and say that there were also unicorns in the back seat.
And an alien coming out
of
the back.
He might have seen unicorns.
He might have.
Yeah, well, it's not funny for Mike Goodson because he might get cut.
No,
it's not funny. It's not funny to begin with.
Drug and weapons charges.
Yeah.
He did not practice during their OTAs this week, which means they don't want him to get hurt. The jury's still out on whether or not he's going to be on the team, whether by that choice is made by the general manager or by
the story
a
in
judge.
ESPN New York was pretty telling that the new general manager John Idzik for the Jets already cut two players who were arrested previously for marijuana possession, and Goodson clearly is of the three guys. The other two were meaningless. Of the three, he's the one that they paid. Now the guaranteed money so far, the story suggested that he has probably been paid $500,000 of the $2 million signing bonus. I think it is that he was given. I would imagine there's probably some type of wording in the contract that if he has this type of problem, they can get out of it. Now the league will have a say. If he remains with the team, if he's going to be suspended, the team may, you know, decide to jump the gun and have a team-imposed suspension. You're not drafting Mike Goodson at this point. And, Mike, you know, if you're looking at the Jets, clearly Chris Ivory was the guy that you're going to target anyway. Mm. But now Bilal Powell becomes a little intriguing because you got to keep in mind, Chris Ivory's never been a starting running back in the NFL. His running style is so ferocious that he could probably get hurt just based on how he runs. And third down work is never going to be something that Chris Ivory did. Dave did an update last week about Chris Ivory's career history, catching the ball, college and pro, and he has almost as many catches as you do in kickball, Adam. So it's not
that many.
Pretty from a reception standpoint for Chris Ivory. So Bilal Powell could be somebody, if you're looking at PPR leagues and you're drafting for whatever reason, you know, before the situation is settled, that's the guy you take with a late-round pick as opposed to Mike Goodson.
Is Josh Freeman fighting for his job, Dave?
No. He's really not. Greg Schiano came out this week and talked about how great Mike Glennon is. And apparently he's like the only guy besides Mike Glennon's dad, Mike Glennon's coaches, who thinks that Mike Glennon's great. Schiano has been chasing Glennon since his high school days. It was learned that He tried to recruit him to Rutgers, and Glennon rebuffed him, said he wanted to play in the ACC, went to NC State. And then there he is sitting there in the third round of the draft, and Greg Schiano goes, aha, I gotcha. And now what he's been doing.
Did he jump out from behind his couch?
He did.
Aha!
Boo! And then Glennon with that neck is like, whoa! Yeah, it's a funny visual. Yeah, that's what happens. When you get drafted, the coach pops out from behind your couch. Yeah. Unless you're in New York at the draft, and then they pop out of a cake in the green room.
Okay. Anyway.
Herm Edwards loved being in the cake. So now there's talk about whether or not Josh Freeman is fighting for his job. And Schiano made it clear that Freeman's the starting quarterback.
You play to eat the cake.
Hello? Like,
all right, Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman's a starter. Mike Glennon said his head is spinning. He doesn't know the playbook.
All right.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
It's a make or break year for Josh Freeman. If he does not play well this season, he's probably not going to be the starter for the Tampa Bay Bucs next year.
Now, if Glennon does get a good grasp of the playbook and it's week 8 and the Bucs are 2-5 and Freeman is just horrible, I think Schiano will pull the trigger on Glennon going in a little sooner than
you look at the Bucs. I mean, their offensive line is great. They added a lot of parts on defense to improve in that area. They have a great running game. They have tremendous receivings.
They have everything but a pass rush and a franchise quarterback.
Right.
I think they have everything.
And you can get by without a pass rush if you have a franchise quarterback. And so we'll see if Josh Freeman can take that next step.
Yeah. So he's a late round pick.
What's going on with the Denver running backs?
You would draft Josh Freeman?
I would draft Josh Freeman. He's in the mix with the late round quarterbacks for me.
What's going on?
I think
on
he's
with
got a chance.
Denver
with
running
the
backs
talent that they have there.
Well, no, Sean Marino showed up to practice yesterday, except he didn't practice because he's still recovering from his off-season knee surgery that he had as a result of the injury in the playoff loss against Baltimore. Willis McGahee is healthy, but he did not show up. So it was the Monte Ball, Ronnie Hillman show, and Peyton Manning. I mean, you want to talk about putting a guy on a pedestal that probably doesn't need to be on a pedestal. He said, I believe the exact quote was, "We are counting on Ronnie Hillman this year." So he said, your rookie year, he got good experience his rookie year. Once you're done with your rookie year, second year, you're a veteran. So the excuse of pass protection, out the window. The excuse of not knowing what you're doing, out the window. Peyton Manning is basically saying, we need this guy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty telling. If you just look at his quotes, you can read it on our site on the update. Most of the time when Peyton Manning or a player of his caliber talks to that level, you kind of sort of, you know, take out coach speak, take out player speak. He's counting on this guy. You know, I don't think he wants a rookie standing next to him on third down and long. He probably wants somebody back there he could trust. I'm sure he would prefer a Willis McGahee, no Sean Marino type, a guy that's been around a few years. But the writing's on the wall. The Denver Post said the Broncos want their 1-2 punch to be Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman. So if I'm in a PPR league or late round pick in a standard league, I want Ronnie Hillman on my team. I'll carry him as my fourth running back, ideally my fifth, but if you can get Ronnie Hillman on your roster in a situation where you don't have to start him until he proves himself, that's a great situation to have.
But you'd still have Ball.
Oh, without a doubt. Ball is the guy to target because he's going to get first and second down work and work at the goal line.
Yep.
All right. And then, Jamie, you noted that some wide receivers who are making noise this offseason are Deontay Thompson, Robert Woods, Michael Floyd, Josh Gordon, and Ryan Broyles.
Yeah. The latter two. The Cleveland Plain Dealer and the MLive.com in Detroit both referenced those two players, Josh Gordon in Cleveland, Ryan Broyles in Detroit, as breakout players this year. The report in Cleveland said about Gordon, the game just looks like it comes easy to him, and if he can focus on being a good NFL player and remain committed to his craft, he could really take a nice jump in this new offense in Cleveland. And then Ryan Broyles, you know, the Lions, they added one wide receiver this offseason in Corey Fuller. That's it.
Sixth round pick.
Right. So they're confident, not only in, you know, and I think it also speaks to Nate Burleson, because Burleson's coming back as the starter from last year's broken leg. Ryan Broyles is going to come back at some point, hopefully by training camp, from the torn ACL. Again, late round pick, if you can pick up Broyles over Burleson, just because I think the upside favors Broyles, but both those guys, in terms of Lions receivers, we know how much they threw the ball last year. It's not going to be that much different. Clearly, Reggie Bush is going to take a huge portion of that. But still, those receivers are going to get single coverage, playing opposite Calvin Johnson. And I think Ryan Broyles has a ton of upside.
How much of a risk is it to not draft? It would be Broyles who you wouldn't draft, because not drafting Burleson, I think that's going to happen in a lot of drafts.
Sure.
I think Burleson will go undrafted.
Great.
By much across the board. How many drafts, give me a percentage, do you think Broyles will not get drafted in?
Oh, I think his ownership probably coming out of Labor Day will be 65-75%.
Right, okay. So that means he's not going to be a waiver wire.
It all depends on his health. Because if he's not healthy by training camp, then it'll be under 50.
This is assuming that he's not on the PUP list and that he's okay and that, you know, maybe he sits out week one, but then he's there in week two. North Turner was talking up Josh Gordon, saying that he saw him as a pretty intimidating player going back to when he was coaching San Diego. And you remember that game in Cleveland? It was rainy. Oh, it was terrible. Nobody was able to score. Norv saw Gordon in pregame and
that was
recognized.
The end of the streak, I think.
He had that scoring streak. And he recognized it pregame. Now I see why the Browns spent such a high supplemental draft pick on him, because he looks like he has the whole package. Robert Woods also standing out for Buffalo. Looks like he's going to be their number two guy. Not that he's somebody fantasy owners should get excited about yet.
Dynasty.
But there's potential there, and he was really good at SC, so I could see him playing well. Michael Floyd is a name that I think belongs in the conversation.
Totally agree. Breakout player.
As a breakout player that you can get with a – it might end up being a middle to late round pick. Cardinals official website said that he looks like he's taking the next step and playing very well. And you look at how you have to cover the Arizona Cardinals, it's going to make it hard on defenses to challenge both Floyd and Fitzgerald.
And Roberts.
And Andre Roberts. There's going to be a lot of weapons for Carson. And the fact that he's got a quarterback to throw to.
Yep.
And I think he had four or more catches in, I want to say, five of his last nine games last year, including a big game in week 17 for Floyd.
He was the third guy, basically, because Fitzgerald and Roberts played really well last year. But the thought coming in this year is that he's going to leap over Roberts on the depth chart.
Yep.
All right, it's time for emails. Time for me to not get any references. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
That might be the longest you went without talking in show history.
It's fine. I almost fell asleep. I'm exhausted here.
Go ahead.
You
want to leave?
Boring.
Why don't you just get out? Jamie and I'll take
it. I'm sorry. I'm really tired these days. All right, Patrick in New York City. Dear Jake and the Fat Man.
Oh, that's
nice. Clearly a reference to the two of you. With Adam being the fat man.
I don't know what that means. It's in quotes.
I'm trying to lose weight.
You don't know what Jake and the Fat Man is?
No.
Used to be a TV show?
Was it?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, you're terrible.
Yeah. What do you think about first downs gained as a category for scoring?
I think it's about as good as the show Jake and the Fat Man.
I actually think that this is interesting. You know, the point he was making in the email, I didn't include all of it, but it's third and one, you get a yard, you pick up a first down. Why shouldn't you be rewarded for that like you would be for a touchdown?
First of all, the Fat Man was a very compelling character on Jake and the Fat Man. Let's just make that out there, because it's not just a big fat guy rolling around.
Okay.
He was a smart, educated detective.
Okay.
Number two, I like it if you get a point for a first down gain.
Why? What's the point?
I think it'll devalue.
It's important.
Do you get it for your quarterback, too? So if your quarterback completes a pass or runs for a first down, do you get those points, too? Or is it strictly for running backs, receivers, tight ends?
I think it should be for...
I think it's an important accomplishment.
You make a stat in your podcast?
It's interesting.
You can do it on CBS.
Thinking about categories here.
You can do it? Does that mean Patrick gets an automatic entry?
No.
I'm going to spearhead Patrick.
You can't say that. People are going crazy. They're already asking about the podcast league.
Since I just said that Patrick's idea for first downs was bad, I'm going to spearhead Patrick's campaign to get in the podcast league.
First of all, there's no campaign here. I don't know.
No, it's campaign.
Just to give you an idea of how many first downs a receiver could get, Calvin Johnson last year.
Said that out loud.
122 catches for Calvin last year, 92 of them for either a first down or a touchdown.
Whoa.
So, I mean, it's almost like a PPR.
Okay, but what about give me a run of the mill? Give me like
Anquan Boldin would have been awesome in this league.
Yeah.
Give me like Michael Crabtree.
Oh, it's going to be high. Remember, these receivers average like over 11, 12 yards per catch.
That's true.
It's hard to not get a first down.
That's a good point.
When you do that,
it would help the third down backs. You know,
it wouldn't be rosterable. It's just an enhancement of PPR.
It would help guys like Brian Hartline. It would help guys like Devon Bess. It would help guys that don't score very much.
57 of 85 catches for Crabtree last year.
Included a first down.
Anybody else you want to look up?
That's fun. All right.
A running back, maybe?
Here's Bruce Lang.
So we have to find 10 spots for the podcast league.
No, stop, because you're out.
I'm out?
We're not talking podcast league right now. It's going to drive me crazy.
Hold on. I want to give you one more. Joik Bell, third down back.
Yeah.
28 catches were for first downs.
Perfect
28
example.
Of 52.
Yeah.
All right.
So it almost looks like a PPR league, like point and a half PPR.
3 minutes.
That's what
3 minutes,
does.
One email. Good pace here, guys.
Add Adam Mazur for the podcast league.
Bruce Lang, Dave.
A-I-Z-E-R.
Where's Bruce Lang from?
Bruce Lang is from, hold on, I got it Gotham. Right here.
I got it right here.
Pulaski, Virginia.
I was wondering what players you think will excel this year, not just the top ADP, but players you think will do well in any position.
Peterson, comma, Adrian.
I guess breakout guys.
Johnson, comma, Calvin.
I think Jermaine Bushrod could do well for the Bears at left tackle.
It is a little bit of a vague question, but let's put it in a breakout terms.
Those Pulaski.
Like how are you looking for sleepers or just players in general that I think are going to do well? I think Percy Harvin is going to have an outstanding year in Seattle.
Players that you would take in round 8 or later that you're excited about.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I like DeAndre Hopkins in Houston. I think he could be all right.
Shane Vereen.
These are good things.
Shane Vereen's a good one. I think he's like right on that round 8 cusp.
I keep taking I've done 3 drafts since our last podcast, and I have Shane Vereen in every league. And I've taken him around 7 in all 3.
Okay.
I can't deny it. I think he's going to be a good player.
Jay Pluck in NYC. Dear Waylon.
He should go hang out with Patrick when they do the podcast league draft together.
We could have a podcast league in New York. It'll just be like the New York, only of New Yorkers.
I want an email next week.
That is interesting. If we could get 12 New York City listeners together to do a live draft and start a league and comp them the league.
Who's paying for that?
Ooh, we could do the draft from Dave's Horrible Diner. Do they have Wi-Fi there?
First of all,
probably not.
They don't have Wi-Fi. They barely have electricity, but they've got awesome breakfast.
Yeah, terrible.
They would be more than willing to.
I want Jay and Patrick to start hanging out.
Yeah, make it happen. Jimmy.
Look at you. Now you're setting people up on
Dear
draft
Waylon,
dates.
Chris, right. And Willie. Apropos your anyone?
No.
Country music?
Yeah,
sensations?
Like that's got to be a Simpsons reference. Willie, Groundskeeper Willie, Waylon Smithers.
Who's Chris?
I don't know. Apropos your discussion of your most recent mock draft and Adam's interest in running back quarterback Gronk, I've been trying out going running back with my first 4 picks in a 14-team half-point PPR league. I had some interesting results in my most recent draft. I went Spiller, Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles, Chris Ivory. I have Torrey Smith and Steve Smith as my wide receivers and some promising rookies. Vic Rivers combo at quarterback and Jared Cook at tight end. What do you think?
I mean, if you're starting 3 running backs, you're good shape. If you're starting 2, then it's not so good.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, moving on. Dear Winger, Abed, and Pierce.
But you and Patrick should have a discussion and then emails back conjointly.
Okay,
What if they know each other? What if they've been playing in a league for years, but they didn't tell each other that they both listen to the podcast?
Well, they know
some
now.
People don't like to share where they get their fantasy football tips
which
from.
Which we don't like. Spread the word.
No. I totally get it. Just tell people that you don't play in leagues with. Like, let's say you're buddies with somebody at work and you both like fantasy football, but you're not in the same league and you never will be.
It's
then
a good thing.
Share that information.
Your little rant gave Adam enough time to look up what the next reference is about.
The Highwaymen is Waylon, Chris, and Willie.
Oh.
And I know Winger, Abed, and Pierce is community, Jamie. Oh. So shush. I'm in a 12-team. Oh, this has no
dare
name.
You question the MVP of kickball.
No name or city,
12.
Dave.
It's going to be Jamal from Garner, North Carolina.
I'm in a 12-team auction league PPR trying to find good value for a number one wide receiver. Who's got number one wide receiver potential but still flying under the radar? I'm thinking Colston, Dwayne Bowe.
Well, I think you're going to find...
I think both those guys qualify.
Yeah. Although Colston's ceiling has kind of been what it is. You know, it's...
But it hasn't been bad.
No, he's like a top 15 guy. I don't think he's a top 12 guy.
PPR even?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think PPR kind of helps him out there. But I know a name that Jamie's going to say. Can I say the name?
For PPR? Oh, I'm going to say Amendola.
Oh, see, I was going to say Cobb. But I don't know if that's...
Well, Cobb, I think, is the number one already.
That's not in a stand. Oh, that's right. You guys love Cobb.
I was actually going to say the other Packers guy, Jordy Nelson. Because, I mean, if he rebounds to anywhere close to where he was 2 years ago...
Can you explain to me why you don't have... any love for James Jones?
I just don't think the touchdown rate is sustainable.
It's been sustainable for 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, he's a top 24 guy for me, so it's not like
sure.
I don't like him.
I mean, you know,
and I think you also have to look at what happened to him last year. No Jennings, no healthy Jordy Nelson, and now you're factoring in Nelson coming back in the mix, and I think JerMichael Finley getting a little bit more of a bump.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I don't like James Jones, but if I'm looking at where I want the Packers receivers, Randall Cobb because he's going to touch the ball more than any of the other two.
Right.
Jordy Nelson because I think his potential his ceiling is higher than James Jones. Mm-hmm. And James Jones, I think, you know, if you take away some of those games where he's just catching touchdowns, he doesn't catch the ball or have enough yardage to be a consistent producer week in, week out. Now, the touchdowns are very good, but I just don't see him scoring double digits
right.
again.
I mean, I already see three games where he had two touchdowns and under 60 yards receiving.
Yeah, it's right. just if he, you take
Here's
away
another one where he had 61 yards and one touchdown.
All right,
another
we
got to
get moving here. It's mailbag. We've only gotten through four. Matt in Louisville, should I change my draft strategy in a 12-team PPR league that awards 1 point for every completion and minus one for every incompletion? Last year, I think five or six quarterbacks were taken in the first round. I stuck with my strategy of picking running backs early. I got Foster, Murray, and Matthews with Nixon, Colston as my receivers. Stuck with Phillip Rivers as my quarterback. So obviously that team did not work out. Would you be quarterback heavy in this league? 1 point per completion and minus one for one incompletion.
I'd still want to know what the other rules are.
I mean, let's just say they're the same. I just think that
PPR league.
This guy, I feel like he had
6 points for a passing touchdown, or is it four?
He had a good draft.
He got
didn't work out.
He got hit by injuries. The other thing is, though, if you know everybody in your league is taking a quarterback early, depending on where you draft, that should just determine what you're going to do. Because mm-hmm. if you're picking early in the first round, let's say you're picking third or fourth, and you know the first two of the first three picks, let's just say, it's going to go Breeze, Rodgers, Peterson, and then you're picking fourth. So you either gamble on Foster and hope coming back in round two you're going to get a good quarterback, or you just decide to take Peyton Manning in that spot, and then knowing in round two you're still going to get a decent running back coming back to you. It's not going to be Arian Foster, but it may be, I don't know, Alfred Morris. It may be Steven Jackson. It may be Chris Johnson, you know, depending on how the draft goes the rest of the way. But you just got to sort of gauge the way this league is. It's a PPR league, so you know, it's going to push Calvin up. It's obviously going to push the quarterbacks up. So running backs are going to be there for you in round two.
So did we give him an answer?
No, I just think the way I would approach it is if I'm picking early in round one, I'd probably target a quarterback.
Okay.
If I'm picking late in round one, I'd see the way that it falls to me. You know, if one of the top five quarterbacks, you know, with Cam being the fifth guy, if he falls to me at pick 11, then yeah, I'll take him, or you know, just to cover myself and make sure the guy at 12 doesn't take him. But I'll take him at 11, come back at 14, and say, okay, give me the best available running back or the best available receiver at that spot, and I know I don't have to worry about a quarterback until later, and I have a guy that's going to really carry me at that position in a league that favors quarterbacks so heavily.
Over the course of a season, how many extra points are we talking about for a quarterback? If you take your average capable starting fantasy quarterback and say, let's just ballpark this at 400 completions on 600 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I know that there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that throw more than that and complete more than that. I think that's a net gain of 200 fantasy points, right? Because
sure.
you're going to get 400 points for every completion, but he's going to miss on 200, so you lose 200 of those points.
Right.
And that's on top of them already getting like 300 some odd points. It's a PPR league. The receivers are only going to get maybe a 100-point bump over the course of the year because of the catch being worth a point each. I think you can make the case to take a stud quarterback in round one.
This is almost like
how it falls.
It's almost the same strategy as a 2QB league. You know, you want to get one of those guys early.
Yeah. The only thing I want to say, you probably weren't considering this, Jamie, but Cam Newton would be way down in this format.
Way down.
He had 280 completions last year. That's like 20th or something in the league. I mean, a bad completion percentage.
So you're looking at...
So you're taking Ryan over Cam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking a lot of people over Cam, I think.
I'm just, but you also
factor
in Cam's rushing.
Yeah, Cam makes up for it.
I know, but you are talking about like 200 points. So just to put it in perspective, Cam Newton had 280 completions last year. Matthew Stafford had 435.
Yeah, but how many incompletions did Stafford have?
Cam Newton had a bad completion percentage.
I don't want to dwell on this too long. Cam's not the best example.
Only helping one person.
Why? I think this is giving people an idea. Just like
the
first down.
We just have like 15 emails to get to.
All right, we'll get to them.
I'm a man of the people.
You're not a man of anybody.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, boy of the emails.
Jeremy at Seattle. He wrote at Apollo, Boomer, and Hilo. I don't know. I play in a 10-team PPR league, 6 points for all touchdowns, dynasty/keeper-ish league, where you keep a starter at every position minus your flex. No restrictions on years you can keep players or round drafted. Keeping Stafford, Julio Jones and Percy Harvin, Vernon Davis, and now I have to keep one running back, Chris Johnson or David Wilson. And what are your thoughts on the value of those two? It's a PPR league, and he also thinks he could take Wilson with the third overall pick.
Right.
Which he has.
Yeah, I think you're keeping Chris Johnson. Keep that monster team together. I understand the allure of Wilson, the fact that you could have him for his whole career, but you've got to bank on him doing what Chris Johnson's been doing, which is putting up big yardage pretty much every year. Hasn't been doing it in a consistent manner, but he's been doing it. I like the offensive line changes. I think Chris Johnson realizes that if he struggles this year, it's the end of the line for him. I'm not saying that he's going to have an amazing year. I think he could be pretty close to what he's been the last couple of years, but that's been, what has it been, like 1,400 total yards? He might get a little bit more than that because they want to feature him more out of
the backfield. But the touchdowns may be a problem.
Touchdowns are a problem, but they're going to be a problem for David Wilson, too, as long as Andre Brown's healthy. So I'm keeping Chris Johnson.
And that was Battlestar Galactica, everybody. Here's Darnell. What's up, Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup? I'm in a 10-team non-PPR league. We get to keep three players. No strings attached. Jimmy Graham or RG3?
Graham.
Okay, here is Mike from Insert Tropical Island location here.
Well, I had Plano, Texas all queued up and ready to go. Let's go with, I don't know, I got nothing.
Puerto Rico.
Havana, Cuba.
I can keep up to three players in my PPR 4-point passing touchdown league, losing as many rounds as players kept. So if I keep three, I lose the first three rounds.
Yep.
I'm planning on keeping Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant, and Alfred Morris with Randall Cobb as a runner-up. There is another manager who would trade me Jimmy Graham for Aaron Rodgers. Should I consider this, given that quarterback is deep this year?
Yep.
Absolutely.
You would give up Rodgers for Graham?
Yep. It's a 4-point touchdown passing league, and it's a PPR format.
So in a standard draft, who are you drafting first, Rodgers or Graham?
I'm taking Rodgers, but it's close.
I'm taking Graham.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Supply and demand.
This is Pete, our favorite friend in Chicago.
Hey, Pete.
He says, I'm keeping C.J. Spiller for a 10th-round pick. I'm also keeping Trent Richardson for a 6th-round pick.
That's awesome.
It's a full PPR league. Knowing this obviously depends on where I draft in round one, would you go wide receiver, another running back, and then a top 5 wide receiver? For sure, there will be Foster, Rice, McCoy, Lynch, Megatron, CJ2K, Brandon Marshall, and Steven Jackson. Love the advice. Keep up the phenomenal job. Your best friend and real Twitter follower of Adam A-I-Z-E-R. Okay, anyway, he's got Richardson and Spiller. What do you do with your first two picks?
PPR. Best available first pick.
With a lean toward the wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, if you get Calvin, that's a steal, but I don't think you're going to get Calvin.
It depends on where he goes in round one.
Yeah, if you're picking in the top, I don't know, four or five picks,
right.
Yeah, you'll have a shot at Calvin. If you're picking toward the end, you know, then it's a gamble.
Pete doesn't tell us if he can start three running backs in this league. And if he can, then Ray Rice
he should just
has to come into the equation.
Tweet Adam and let him know.
Just ask Adam.
And Adam will just sift through all the podcast league tweets that he's going to get.
Mike in NYC.
Another
NYC.
Here we go.
We've got three
Mike,
in the NYC.
Mike,
you
got to go hang out with, what's their names? Patrick and Jay.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah.
How are we going to get them together?
They should all.
Like 10 people in New York City. This should be easy.
They should all go to Dave's favorite diner.
No, they should go to Patsy's, for goodness sake.
There's multiple Patsy's, though.
They can go to
the
diner.
One in Union, go to the Union Square Patsy's.
Go to the diner for breakfast and then Patsy's for dinner.
Fine.
Yes.
See Jesse Eisenberg's play in between.
And you can apparently, according to Jamie, you will be spending all of lunch throwing up from the diner.
Oh, without
breakfast
a doubt.
I don't know if it's throwing up that Jamie was doing.
It is the worst place in America.
All right, Mike in New York says,
fantastic. So good.
I'm wondering if there are leagues that revolve around people selecting teams instead of individual players. And if they exist, what are they called? And if not, what do you think of the idea? So with either 8 or 12 players, people take turns in a snake draft selecting teams and thereby gaining access to all of the team's players and its defense.
It's going to be a short draft.
Yeah.
Should we try it?
Right now?
Yeah.
12 team?
12. Well, yeah.
12 team drafts, teams? All right. Who wants the first pick?
We'll have alphabetical order. So you go first, I go second, Dave goes last.
I will take the Saints.
Am I second?
No, I'm second.
Damn it.
I will take the Patriots.
Denver Broncos.
Give me the Packers. Oh, but now I have two quarterbacks and no running back. So that was a bad
you
pick.
You stink at the sky.
That was a bad pick. Oh, but it's not my team. It's a 12-team league.
Wait, right. Who's been taken so far? I can't keep track of it all.
New Orleans, Denver, Green Bay.
No, you took New England.
I took New England.
New Orleans, New England, Denver,
New Orleans. Green Bay, and now Jamie's up.
So I will go with the... we'll go with... Give me the...
Come on!
Jamie trying to keep the dead air.
Come on!
I'm thinking who I want.
Everybody's listening going, I know who I'm taking.
No, you're on a 10-second clock.
All right, I'll go with the 49ers.
Atlanta.
I'll take the Cowboys.
I'll take the Seahawks.
I'll take the Detroit Lions.
What pick are we on?
3, 4, 5, 6. We're at 9, so 10, 11, 12.
All right, 3 more picks here. Give me... See, when do you take the Vikings? That's the interesting one.
Well, you're near the end of round one in our
Think I'll go with the...
You can only do this with 10. Hold on a second. You can't do a 12-team league. There's 32, league. Unless you're going to start drafting like Alabama or, you know,
the 10-team league.
Montreal Alouettes.
Here we go.
So there, we've got 10.
All right, so I think the Vikings. I'll close it off so Adrian Peterson
Minnesota.
Can be out. It's probably a bad pick, but I only had 10 seconds to
what are you going
to
do?
All right, next up. Got a few more
well,
here.
Well, did we like that? Was that fun?
No.
I don't think
we can really tell if it's
idea.
Fun unless we do round two, guys.
No, I'm not doing round two. All right. Dear Andy, Opie, and Barney, and No Namer City.
By the way,
here.
I killed it in that draft.
Good job. No Namer City, Dave. What do you got?
For who?
No Namer City.
Put him in New York so they all could go hang out at the crappiest diner ever invented.
Why do you keep hating on the diner?
I heard what happened to Jamie. I would hate it, too.
It's the worst place ever. And I'm not the only one. You took four people there. Three hated it. And only one ate of those three.
I've taken other people there, and they love it.
Yeah.
Nathan went there and loved it.
Yeah.
Then he went next door to the sushi place and ate even more. It was great.
Yeah. Then he went to the next door to the bathroom.
We're going to go with Michael in Middletown, New Jersey.
I'd play in a 10-team.
Close enough to New
York. Exactly. Well, that's what I'm going for. I'll take the transit train.
10-team PPR league with a $200 auction. We can keep three players up to 3 years. Who should I keep? Lynch for $34, Chris Johnson for $41, Reggie Wayne for $9, Randall Cobb for $5, Kaepernick for $5.
Lynch and Cobb are musts.
Not Kaepernick for $5?
Sure. There's your third.
Beautiful. Dear Fantasy Heffalumps.
Yep.
What is that?
You would know if you watched Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, I used to. This is from Matt, the optimistic Vikings fan. You guys had a nice discussion about league variations, but my league is discussing adding a bunch of small, fun payouts to take less emphasis off winning the league, which will still be the highest reward, of course. Do you have any experience or suggestions on any fun payout ideas?
Well, there's weekly prizes
read the
for
PS.
High score.
Read the PS.
PS, Adam emailed me last year to be a sub for the podcast league, but by the time I got there, the spot filled up. By nature, I feel like I have earned a spot in the league.
Does Matt live in New York?
You were giving out sub spots?
Yeah, some people weren't responding. So I said, if this guy doesn't get back to me, we need someone for the league.
All right, it's fine to draw some alternates. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can award points for the highest score each week or award money to the team that scores the highest score. What we did in one of my leagues is the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, there's no prize for having the high score. But once you get toward the playoffs, there's sizable prize money. And that's so people stay interested in setting their lineups. So even if I'm 2-7 heading into the last third of the season,
I can
still pick up a couple of bucks by having the highest score in the league. The problem is that if you're 2-7, you're not scoring a lot of points.
Yeah.
You're pretty much done for.
And also, give certificates to the diner.
Ooh.
Those are good ideas for prizes.
No, he's in Minnesota.
Doug in San Diego. He says he's a Vikings fan. He didn't say he's from Minnesota. Doug in San Diego, a.k.a. America's finest city. My league is going to switch to a keeper league after this season. We can keep three players without penalty. This year is a $200 auction. It's a PPR league. Two flex spots. One running back, one wide receiver, a tight end, and two flexes. Who would you target in this year's auction with this format? So it's a keeper league and PPR.
I think you still target the same way you would do any other auction.
Well, I think there's going to be a lean toward the younger players. You could look at some
of
the running backs.
Sure, any keeper league, yeah.
Yeah, this could take us back to the conversation we had last week about Giovanni Bernard, for example, in
Absolutely.
Cincinnati.
Yep.
A guy who this year might not see a ton of carries, might not see a lot of work, but in the future, and I'm impressed with him. I really like Bernard a lot. In this type of a format, I might spend a couple extra bucks, you know, go 10, 15 bucks on him.
Sure.
In this type of a format. I think that's a good example of a guy. I don't know if I want to look too far ahead, though. Like, I don't know if I want to spend a ton of money on Jonathan Franklin, knowing that the next 3 years of his life, at least, he's going to be either in a tandem with Eddie Lacy or behind Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe he gets ahead of Eddie Lacy if Eddie Lacy gets hurt.
Two rookies with long-term value. 3 years, I don't know if it'll come to fruition or not. But Jordan Reed in Washington could be a starting tight end for them next year.
That's an interesting call.
And Keenan Allen. Again, I think he is not going to fulfill his potential this season. I think next year,
right,
once the Chargers revamp that entire receiving core.
There's also a certain running back in Houston that once upon a time did great, then he got hurt, and now he's in a contract year, and next year he could be in for a starting job somewhere, and that's Ben Tate. So Ben Tate's a guy you might be able to steal and throw on your lineup with your startup keeper league.
Tom, from a neighborhood of Dave's choice in Chicago, go Bears.
Oh, let's go with the southwest suburbs.
Dear Walter, Galen Bronco, my 10-team standard league is adding return yardage to our scoring format this year. Which wide receivers and running backs would you target in a format like this? And how much of an impact does it have, and how far would you bump up players like Cobb and Harvin?
You're well, Cobb may, not, Cobb may not be right on returns again.
But Harvin
Mike,
will.
Mike McCarthy is undecided on that.
You know, Jonathan Jackson. Franklin got some looks.
Who did?
Jonathan Franklin got looks on returns.
DeSean Jackson is intriguing just because he'll be.
He almost definitely will.
David Wilson.
If he stays in that role.
Yeah. What do you think Vereen plays into that at all for New England?
Maybe. Be interesting to see what the Broncos do with Welker. Well, they have Holiday on kickoff.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to.
How much do you play into this? Because I remember being in a league a few years ago for the last time. I would never be in a league like that again where, like, Josh Cribbs was one of the best players. He was like a third-round pick.
I know which league this is, and that's a weird league with a commissioner who went crazy. Wasn't it a point for every 10 yards rushing
yes,
and returning?
Yes.
Yeah, so it totally
yeah, you
favors
can't, you can't
the
do return
teams.
Yards like they're rushing and receiving yards.
That's a commissioner who knew the rules and didn't tell anybody else in the league about the rules.
Yes!
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
so
I was so mad. I was so mad. And that was my first year down here. And I was like, sure, I'll join the league. I'll make some friends.
Right. And you never knew about this
rule. I was
rule.
Like, somebody really just took Josh Cribbs in the third round. And then I read the rules. And I felt like an idiot. But I also felt used. Felt lied to.
But you feel so much better now, Adam, because
now that
you
I'm not in it.
Are the kickball MVP of Week 9.
All right, well, is it a big deal?
And he's going to get lots of tweets for the podcast league.
I'm so mad at you.
Just 2 months away. You got to get those.
Really? They start now.
We got 2 minutes, guys, for three emails. So
should we just promote the podcast league for 2 minutes?
My name is Jason, and I'm from Atlanta. I have a keeper question for you. PPR 12-team league where you can keep up to two keepers for 2 years. If you keep a player more than once, you lose a round where they were originally drafted. And I have the fifth pick in a non-snaking draft. I like my options for keepers. Here are the ones I'm considering. C.J. Spiller, round
Done.
4.
That's one.
Jordy Nelson, round 12. Demaryius Thomas, round 3. Jason Witten, round 8. Jamie's going to say done now. Randall Cobb, round 9.
Done!
And Russell Wilson, round 7.
Yeah. I'm not going to fight you on those, man. In the PPR league on top of it, Spiller and Cobb.
Done!
And you get 3 picks to kick off your draft.
You remind me of Lardass from Stand By Me when he's eating all the pies saying done. Jason, in a city of Dave's choice in California.
A city of my choice in California. Let's go with Newhall.
Dear Larry, Daryl, and Daryl, I'm wondering about your draft position philosophy. I can choose my draft position in a 10-team draft. The only pick I can't have is first. Where would you want to draft from? PPR Keeper League, I already have Alf for a 14th round pick. Thanks, Dave, for the early heads up last summer.
You're welcome.
Where do you want to pick?
Well, Lynch is gone, so the third spot is not as enticing.
How far do you think he can fall?
No, it's PPR.
To lock in Calvin?
4, 5.
Yeah, I might look in that neighborhood. Maybe 3.
Why not just take 2 and make sure you get him?
Because you could also get Arian Foster / Adrian Peterson.
Well, you're not going to get Peterson. He can't pick first.
You're assuming that Adrian Peterson's going to go first.
Or be kept. He might be kept.
No, he would say that.
I would think that's a slam dunk.
You know, you never know. There are some people that love Arian Foster, and they think he's a special guy.
Give him a number. Where do you want him to pick?
Pick 2. Guarantee yourself whoever you could take.
Yeah, why not?
That's probably the best thing to do.
Dear Gretchen Wieners, Karen Smith, and Regina George. No idea.
I got nothing.
I started out playing fantasy football last season.
Who did?
This guy.
You want to say his name?
Oh, Jordan West Bay Grand Cayman. Cool. I started out playing fantasy football last season, played three leagues, and finished second, second, and first, a.k.a. I won in the podcast league as I'm the next
Adam Mazur.
I'm the next up-and-coming superstar.
What? We should give people that listen to us in the off season. They should have a little bit more priority.
I don't agree.
Why?
It's got to be random.
It will be random.
One of my leagues. All right, I'll tell you what. Not now. Not now. At some point in the off season, we'll do a special drawing just for off season listeners, where I will pick
three.
For each league that we're going to do. Two podcast leagues?
No, one.
One. What about the categories league?
That's the one.
Oh. All right. Then I'm only going to pick one.
No, three.
Jamie. We'll settle on two.
No, we'll settle on three.
No, two.
Why?
I'm so confused.
Okay,
these are our dedicated people. Jordan and West Bay Grand Cayman. That's dedication.
Okay, anyway. One of his leagues is a standard scoring 10-team, 6-man keeper league. I'm keeping Cam Newton, Trent Richardson, Percy Harvin, and Rob Gronkowski.
Bang.
Pretty good
for my
start.
Other two spots, I'm picking between Colston, Blackman, David Wilson,
done.
Ryan Matthews, Kenny Britt, Bryce Brown, and Pierre Garçon, leading towards Colston and Wilson.
Done and done. And towards is not a word. It's only toward.
Oh, now you're going to insult him?
I'm not insulting
Jordan
him.
Jordan West Bay,
you probably did it. You probably did it. You probably edited it.
I did it.
Just I think because you insulted him, he should get a spot in the podcast league. I'm just saying.
Stop saying these things.
Only if he tweets
just
you
like
at
there,
Mazur.
There was a previous email where you changed. Somebody wrote lose and you changed it to loose.
I did?
Yeah, but you read it correctly, but you spelled it wrong.
Well, that's how I do it. I do it on the fly. Okay, we're out of here.
Here's the windup and the pitch. It's a slow roller right to Adam's foot. Oh, he boots it over the second baseman's head for a base hit. That's the MVP of the kickball
I don't
league.
Get slow rollers. They're very hard, these pitches.
I look forward to next week when you tell us if you repeat it as MVP.
Will you come to the game tomorrow?
No.
Will you?
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Dave has done one thing out of the office in an office-related thing since I know him.
What was that?
What was that? Well, it depends how you want to define it. You could define it. Most people defined it as the company Christmas gathering. Dave defined it as getting his tire slashed.
You got your tire slashed?
We had a company picnic, and it was really like this great deal. Families could come. There was a big cookout. It was great. And it was at a park in South Florida, and somebody slashed my tire. And it wasn't my car. It was my wife's car.
Oh.
So it was just a random slashing.
Yep.
That stinks.
And I had to get to the, airport
that day.
Had it
been your car, it
would have
been
a disgruntled fantasy owner. Exactly. It would have been,
somebody
who's like, oh, yeah, start Jamal Charles.
Oh, I have the best story ever.
Next week.
No, this is the best story ever.
Jamie, it's too late in the podcast.
What's too late?
People have already tuned out. I'm disappointed.
First of all, you just blew their eardrums out.
I know.
And now
you're
going to tell the story. Adam, let it go.
No, it's just I want a maximum audience.
All right, next week.
Next week, Jamie's story.
How did I forget?
I know.
Why did you bring it up?
I just thought about it when you talked about the tires. All right, we'll talk to you all next week. Have a good one.
Gas.
No bye from you?
Bye.